Just got slight technical issues here. But I think we can get around it. My tablet's only displaying upside down. But fortunately, with a tablet, you can turn it around, can't you? You might have noticed at the start that what we want to have a look at in tonight's talking point is transgender issues. Transgender issues. This is something that has been big, will be big, and I think it's going to get even bigger. If it hasn't affected you or been near to you, it will be. It's something that is progressing through society and touching so many different areas. Just really an opening statement to start off with. Radical gender ideology is being pushed through the media and into society in general, schools in particular. The idea that your biological sex does not determine your gender is being broadcast in the media. For example, the BBC was criticised when last September Radio 4 aired an interview with a 10-year-old girl whose parents used the internet to help to decide that she is non-binary, neither male nor female. Her parents concluded that she was transsexual because she disliked girls' toys. Okay? And this was broadcast on Radio 4. It was condemned. A Times columnist, Janice Turner, accused the BBC for allowing a pernicious ideology to enter the mainstream unquestioned. But it was broadcast, national broadcast. And basically, there was no sort of real question of the parents at all. Just said, you know, basically when it came down to it, this girl didn't like girls' toys, therefore she must be something else other than a girl. Again in November, the BBC came in for severe criticism over a children's programme about a boy who was living as a girl. A leading supporter of trans rights in the House of Commons, Maria Miller, voiced concern over the way that the BBC is targeting six-year-olds. Six-year-olds, okay? This and other ideologies that you see pushed are often characterised by intolerance. Any dissent, any disagreement is not allowed. If you disagree, you're classed as a hater. Ironically, they say that anybody disagrees with them is intolerant, which obviously gives the idea of the pot calling the kettle black, but there you go. Whether it's right or wrong, the Christian response should always be one of showing love and grace, but also adhering to truth. Let's have a look at this in a little bit more detail. There is a situation, a medical situation, called intersex, and that is different to transsexual. An intersex person, and roughly it's estimated that people like this make up 0.06% of society, are people who have problems with their actual sort of physical makeup, if you like. They can have malformed genitalia and such like, and they can have all sorts of issues connected with that. There are people, Klinefelter syndrome. Normally what you have is a particular kind of chromosome that makes you female, and a particular makeup of chromosome that makes you male. For women, it's an XX chromosome. For men, it's an XY chromosome. Well, people with this syndrome have an XXY chromosome. It affects every single part of the body. All right? There's nothing you can do about that. I'm not saying that it's unimportant, but what I'm saying is the issue in relation to the population is very small. It's not something that affects a great number of people. It's rare. It's out of the ordinary. These issues need understanding, they need acceptance and treatment as we can give it. Treatment is not always possible, but where it can be, we need to help them. Intersex people have a physical problem. Transsexual people do not. Somebody who is transgender or transsexual, the words tend to be interchangeable. According to the Intersex Society of North America, their definition is this. A transsexual or a transgender person is somebody who's born with typical male or female anatomies but feel as if they're in the wrong body. There's nothing physically wrong with them, they just believe that they're not what their gender is. People who are transsexual are gender dysphoria. They're discontent with their biological makeup. They believe that their real gender is different to their anatomy. According to GLAAD, formerly called the Gay and Lesbians Against Defamation, transgender is a term used to describe people whose gender identity differs from the sex that the doctor marked on their birth certificate. So the head is telling them one thing, the body is saying something different. As far as they're concerned, gender identity is a person's internal sense of being a man, a woman, or something else. So let me say again, a transgender person is somebody who is biologically normal but wants to live as somebody who is different to what they appear. People who are in this bracket make up approximately 0.6% of the population. Again, it's not trying to demean it, it's not trying to say it isn't an issue, but it's just an idea to give you the sort of numbers that we're talking about. The idea of wanting to change your physical sex because you feel you're in the wrong body has become increasingly high profile. It's been raised by the media as a big issue, but what I'm saying is we have to understand the actual numbers that are involved. Gender is referred to something as a spectrum. There's no sort of one or the other. It's not a case of heads or tails kind of thing, but they're saying there's a whole range in between male at one end and female at the other. It could be anywhere in between. Exactly what, I must admit, I've no idea. But that is what they say. Gender is believed to be something that is not set in stone. It's fluid, it can change, it can vary. But if there are these two different things, what's in your head, what your mind is telling you, and what your body is like, which takes precedence? There's this difference between how you're thinking and how you are, which is correct? How do you identify which is right? Under the 2004 Gender Recognition Act, an adult has been diagnosed with gender dysphoria and lived for 2 years as a person of the opposite sex can apply for a gender recognition certificate. This means that their legal sex can be changed, and that includes on the birth certificate. There's an increasing demand for medical intervention. At the beginning of last year, it emerged that a 16-year-old boy had become the UK's youngest sex change patient after the NHS approved his surgery. In an interview with a national newspaper, Bradley Cooper said, "People might think I'm too young to make such a huge decision, but I know my own mind, and that's what I want." He said, "The doctors have said I need the surgery for my own peace and mind." Last year, a 14-year-old boy who wants to have sex change treatment said it should be allowed on the NHS, and it should be allowed before a child reaches puberty. Carol Smith says a son wants to become a girl and should be allowed the hormone blockers now, before he reaches 18. According to the son, this mum, blasted health chiefs for banning youngsters from taking sex change drugs. And a case of trying to have your cake and eat it. Last June, a transsexual man won the right to be treated as a man in the marriage system and a woman in the pension system. Okay? So this is playing it both ways. I want to be a man to get married, but I want to be a woman to claim my pension rights. As I say, that's trying to have your cake and eat it. But they say gender is so fluid, you can move between. So obviously, while you're engaged in a marital relationship, you can be a man. But when it comes to the Thursday, you can go down and be a woman to claim your... or whatever. There are also issues with people wanting to use toilets of the opposite sex to which they are biologically. Wanting to use changing rooms, so men going into women's changing rooms, women going into men's toilets. You have situations where companies are lauded and said how good it is when individual toilets are marked as gender-neutral toilet instead of toilet. I mean, if it's a toilet and it's a single toilet, it's a toilet, is it not? Does it have to be gender-neutral? Can I not use it because I'm not gender-neutral? Do you understand what I mean? It's this whole idea that's built up around it. There's so much more that could be said, the things that are happening, but I think sufficient's been covered for now. There is no doubt that transgender people have suffered abuse and violence, and that's clearly wrong. Some have been refused healthcare, just ordinary treatment. Again, that's not right either. But we need to examine the situation and we need to find the truth. My question is, why is a physical reality considered wrong? Is it because we find it easier to deal with physical things rather than mental things? Can we deal with physical health more than we can deal with mental health? Is it because we can perform surgery on bodies so much better than we can heal people's minds? Problems with operations. There is a significant minority of people who undergo sex change operations or express regret. November 2010, a guy called Charles Kane said, transsexualism is a delusion, and he knows personally because he's been through it. He lived as a woman for years and said that at the bottom of it, at the root of it, what he needed was counselling, not an operation. He underwent a sex change surgery to look like a woman, then he changed back. And he says the NHS should halt all sex change operations. He spent over £100,000 on operations to make him look like a woman. And he says, I needed counselling, not surgery. He says, based on my own experience, I believe sex change operations should not be allowed and certainly not on the NHS, he said. People who think they are a woman trapped in a male body are, in my opinion, completely deluded. I certainly was. I needed counselling. He says, in many ways, I see myself as a victim of the medical profession. He was born Sam Hashimi, but had an operation to make him look like a woman in 1997. He believed that the decision to have sex change surgery came as a result of the trauma of the breakdown of his marriage. He lived for many years as Samantha Kane, working as an interior designer and enjoying a jet set lifestyle. But he was not happy. He felt he was merely playing a role and that he disliked what female hormones were doing to his emotions. In 2004, he decided he had made a mistake and proceeded to spend another £25,000 on further operations to be changed back. Critics of sex change operations say that gender dysphoria is a psychiatric problem, not a physical one, and radical physical surgery does more harm than good. Other examples, a guy called Walt Heyer felt it was in the wrong body. He took hormones and had irreversible surgery. He said, "My perfectly good body parts were amputated. Years of looking like and living as a woman did not bring the promised relief. He has now returned to living as a man." A Home Office report from April 2000 said many people revert to their biological sex after living for some time as the opposite sex. And at the time, Britain's youngest sex change patient, aged 18, changed his mind within a year of starting treatment. In 2007, Dr. Russell Reed, a doctor specialised in gender dysphoria, was found guilty of serious professional misconduct because he rushed patients into sex change surgery before they had been properly assessed. In 2004, Charles Kane accused Dr. Reed of convincing him to have the operation to change his sex. So where does all this lead? What we seem to be doing here is trying to change facts. If provable facts do not align with what I feel, then why can't the facts be changed? But you see, the thing that you have to do is take things to their logical conclusion to just see how weird this actually is. Why should it end at simply changing your sex? Let's have a look at the thinking. If I sincerely believe that I am a pygmy, people like JP might look at me and say, well, you are actually smaller than me, but you know what I mean. If I believe that I'm a pygmy and I live as a pygmy, can I have operations to make me a pygmy? Why not? If I am a male and I believe that I'm female, can I have operations to make me a female? Well, yes, at the moment. But can you see the thinking? If I believe in my head that I'm 6'6" and ought to be a basketball player, can I have operations to alter my body to make me taller? Yeah? Why not? Because I believe that I should be taller than I am. At times I do believe. But you know what I mean. But why should it stop there? If I sincerely believe that I'm the next step in the evolutionary trail and I ought to have three legs, why can I not have operations to give me a third leg? Yeah? Because it doesn't align with my thinking. Yeah? Well, yeah. It appears in many ways that the transsexual movement is a radical form of self-determination. The assumption being that subjective feelings trump over objective reality. Surely our therapy ought to be aimed at changing not the healthy bodies, but people's ideas. Perhaps we ought to be helping people accept the bodies that they're in. The Church of England in 2003 said this: "We are not simply people who inhabit bodies. Rather, our bodies are part of who we are." Having said that, people could turn around and say, well, isn't Christianity like that? Don't you just believe something and then expect others to fit in? But Christianity deals with reality. It's rooted in reality and truth. The Bible is not a fairy tale crafted by ancient people to delude others to give a sense of meaning. In many ways, we see how the Bible is, in some senses, a very true, real story. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. It tells of a great drama. It features a struggle between good and evil. It explains the world as we know it. We can see archaeological evidence. And there's been some recently discovered parchments that again testify to the age of the Old Testament. Some people say, oh, it's just a book that was written. But we can see the age, and it lines up with what the archaeologists have dug up. The people who are described in the Bible actually existed. The Bible deals with truth. The ancient texts speak of real people, real places, and real events. The Bible proclaims that it is true. The Bible proclaims that Jesus is true. In John 1:17, it says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Again, John 8:31 to 32, to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life. Christianity doesn't hide from the truth. It doesn't seek to alter the truth. It lives by the truth. The facts, the truth, is crucial. Paul himself said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and your faith is in vain. In other words, if it's just a made-up story, then you're wasting your time. He says, Christ died for your sins. He was buried, he raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Yes. And he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. And at one time he appeared to more than 500 at once, some of whom are still living, some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and all the apostles, and last of all he appeared also to me as one abnormally born. We see the facts, we see the transformation, that Christ was raised from the dead. Truth is liberating. The truth of Christianity has transformed millions. The truth that we see in the Bible is what sets people free. And the Bible says that God has made us male and female. There is no middle ground and there is no spectrum. The Bible says that all people are made in God's image and as such are valuable and worthy of respect and love. Value, respect and love for all are things that have been introduced and made normal through Christianity. Tolerance is something that should be shown in all directions to those who are wrestling with transgender issues and to those who believe that there is only male and female. To be transformed and liberated, to be at ease with themselves and how they are, people, all people, need the truth that we find in Christ. He is the Redeemer that everybody needs. It's not surgery that transforms people's bodies that's needed. It's the truth of the gospel that transforms people's hearts and minds, transforms their outlook, gives them hope and gives them peace, gives them new direction, gives them something worth living for, and at times gives them something worth dying for. Christ alone can transform people, give them liberty, because he himself said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed.